Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette with Action International Ministries Uganda. May the Lord of glory, the Lord of all grace, the Lord who has come to save us, bless you today once again in his marvelous truth. How faithful the Lord Jesus is, how good he is, how kind he is, and how awesome is the great truth that he came, as was prophesied by Isaiah the prophet and by many other prophets, to save the chosen people of God, his very own people, those that the Father had given to him. Praise his name now and forever. The Lord Jesus Christ, the true King, the living King, the King who is the great sovereign and who rules all things. Glory to the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, though Christmas Day is past, we are still in the midst of the Christmas holiday season. And so this Lord's Day morning, the Lord has led me, I trust, to share with you verses from Isaiah's book, his prophecy from Isaiah chapter 9. And we want to look there at verses 6 and 7, which are very well-known verses. And these are verses which are commonly read and seen at the Christmas season. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. And so let us now pray. Father, we thank you for your wonderful Son, the all-wise God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he is mighty and powerful and that he is God with you, God the Son. We thank you that he is the eternal Father, the source of all, and that he came in the fullness of the times, though he was existent forever, God over all, the Father of all. And we thank you, Lord, that he is the Prince of Peace, and that the government is upon his shoulder, and that he brings peace to hearts and to your people, Lord, and to the peoples, to the nations. There is peace to be found only in Jesus, your Son, Emmanuel, who has come to be with us. And we give him praise because we desperately need his peace, Lord. And we look to him for peace today, the Prince of Peace. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for the glorious truth that is given to us by Isaiah. And so bless the word of God to our hearts once again today. And lead us, I pray, O God, to truly wonder at the marvelous gift, the indescribable gift that you have given to us in your great love, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Thank you for him. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. So, my friends, I'm reading from the New King James Version, the Holy Bible, Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. And so, my friends, wonderful verses that we are especially familiar with, acquainted with at the Christmas season, because Isaiah here prophesies about the coming of the child who is to be born of the virgin. And he tells us here in chapter 9, in the verses I read with you, about his nature, the glorious nature of the child who is to be born and the glorious nature of his kingdom. And when we look at Isaiah's prophecy, we see that Isaiah has proclaimed a message of God's anger and judgment upon Israel. King Ahaz has been singled out by the prophet as a man of unbelief And as a man who does not understand the mighty power of God and his great ability to judge sin, which he hates in his holy righteousness, and to deliver and save in his infinite grace that he delights in. King Ahaz does not believe and is not established. And then through Isaiah, the Lord himself speaks and declares that he will give a sign himself. Ahaz is tested and fails. And so the prophet declares the glorious truth, and we find this in Isaiah chapter 7, in verse 14, that the Lord himself will give a sign. That is, the Lord himself will do a mighty work. And he calls our attention to it there in verse 14 with the word behold. This is going to be a powerful working of the living and true God, so that we are called to behold this truth. And this is seen to be a prophecy that will surely come to pass. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, or God with us. And so great judgment is promised to come upon Israel because of Israel's sinfulness. And that great judgment will come in a great time of desperation and need. Israel will come under strong chastisement. There will be great pain, great confusion, great difficulty in the land as the Assyrians will come and invade them. God has prophesied through the prophet. This will surely take place. And in the midst of these very desperate warnings and threatenings and promises, sure promises of judgment, pain and death and destruction coming upon the nation as a whole because of their sin and unbelief and turning from God to wickedness, in the midst of this desperate time, Isaiah speaks forth the truth that God himself will bring a wonderful sign to pass. There will be a sign of deliverance, and that a virgin shall give birth to a child. This is a great miracle of God. This is the great outworking of the God of infinite power, to whom nothing is impossible. And I think it's remarkable that we must notice that this glorious promise comes in a most desperate time. In some ways, not unlike the times in which we live. I believe we live in a time of great difficulty and tribulation, and there is great desperation. There is great hopelessness in many places. There is great violence. We're all quite familiar with that. In fact, we cannot help but be aware of the fact that there is violence and killing in South Sudan at this time. Suddenly, this eruption of violence and killing has taken place, and it is heartbreaking to see this happen. But South Sudan is not alone. There are many nations on the planet today where there is great violence and great need and great desperation and great darkness and great hopelessness. And so in that respect, we live in a time that is not that distant or dissimilar from the time of Isaiah's prophecy. And yet in the midst of this great time of darkness, this time of sure, complete judgment, God utters forth through the prophet Isaiah that the deliverer, the child, is coming. God will himself give the sign. He will do something that he alone can do. This is a true miracle. And he will bring forth this virgin conception and this virgin birth. Emmanuel, God's son, the deliverer, the Messiah, the promised deliverer, shall come forth from the virgin. And we notice there in Isaiah chapter 7, in these desperate times when Assyria will come and bring complete desolation to the peoples, so that the land itself will be filled, as it were, with thorns and briars. And the Lord describes the picture of this complete devastation in that it's as though that there has been a shaving with a hired razor. That is, a man would be so dishonored and shamed that he would be shaved by this powerful judgment coming from the Assyrians. God working through them to bring judgment. And the people live in a time of chaos and a time of need and a time of running from the violence that has suddenly come upon them, this slaughter and killing, so that they will then necessarily eat curds and honey. That is, they will have to survive on food that is given to them in such a way that they can carry it in their flight from the destruction that suddenly comes upon them in the fullest. And so it is that the very land will bring forth not crops and food for good, but briars and thorns and arrows, and the bows of men will come, and the land will be desolated. And so it is that God, through Isaiah, promises in this time of desperation that there will be a shattering of the people. They shall be broken in pieces. They shall be broken in pieces, Isaiah 8, 9. They are to gird themselves, but yet they shall be broken in pieces to prepare themselves. And they shall take counsel, but the destruction will still come. They may even say there in verse 10 that God is with us, there is hope, but their words will not stand, God says. The enemy will come like an overflowing river, and the water will reach up to their necks and fill the breadth of the land. O Emmanuel, there in chapter 8, verse 8, he calls this desolated land Emmanuel, after the name of his son. The people are identified with the deliverer, and there is a note of hope, but there is also here the note of the presence of the very anger of Emmanuel coming in the form of this invading army that comes upon the people. And this devastation is described in chapter 8, that there is to be a stone of stumbling, there is a trap, a snare for the inhabitants of Jerusalem, that the people will fall and be snared and be taken. And though the people may say there in verse 12 that there is a conspiracy, that others have brought this trouble upon them, that they would even call upon the name of God, saying God is with us there in verse 10, that the truth is that they do not hallow the Lord of hosts, that they do not fear him, that they do not reverence him with dread. And so it is that this judgment will not be averted. And so he will hide his face from Jacob, and the law and the testimony will be bound and sealed up. The people will not understand the working of God, the way of God in this great calamity. And so it is that the Lord will bring forth something wonderful in his own power. He brings forth a wonderful judgment, if you will, a complete and righteous judgment upon the people. And he will also bring upon them the promise of the most wonderful of deliverances to a hard-pressed and hungry people. A people who are cursed by God. A people who will see trouble and darkness, gloom and anguish, who are driven into darkness. A people who are distressed in the highest possible way. God has been lightly esteemed by them. And Isaiah there in chapter 9 describes the coming of the Assyrians into the northern land, Zebulun and Naphtali, who are heavily oppressed. And that the Assyrians will come from their northernmost parts to Galilee of the Gentiles. And he says there in chapter 9, verse 2, that the peoples who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. That is the people who would be first destroyed, that light would yet shine in the darkness, a light that the darkness cannot overcome. And so it is that there is a deliverance that is promised in the face of the most desperate of times. And so, my friends, I am personally encouraged by the Word of God that this world, which is not characterized by peace as a whole, that this world, which is fallen and sinful, and which is much more characterized by war and violence and fighting and killing, by distinctions and divisions, by hatred, by murder, by national war, by tribalism, by genocide, that this world, which is characterized in this way, has yet a great and powerful hope, because the child that is promised to us in Isaiah is the child who is also called the Prince of Peace. He is the God who will govern all things. The government is upon his shoulder, and his kingdom is much more powerful, infinitely powerful, than the world and the kingdom of darkness. I love the words to a hymn that we sing in the West. Though the evil is so strong, Jesus is the ruler yet. And to a desperate people overcome by war, the promise of final peace and the greatest of deliverance is made. So it is, my friends, that the promise of the child who was born, who has come, who has been given, is also given to us. In the midst of a desperate time of war and fighting, there is the promise of a greater peace, because Jesus is the ruler yet. And his kingdom, his rule, is characterized by his godly character. His kingdom is a wonderful kingdom. It is the kingdom of all wisdom. It is the most powerful kingdom. It is the kingdom of the mighty God himself. It is the eternal kingdom of God the Son, who is here called the Everlasting Father. He is the Everlasting Father. He is the eternal God, though he is the Son of God, because he is the source of all things. All things were created for him and through him. And he is the governor of all things, the ruler of all things. And so, though the evil presses hard, Jesus is the ruler yet and ever shall be. The Everlasting Father is called by the Spirit of Grace the Prince of Peace. And his kingdom is characterized by peace. We see that the child's coming is ultimately the promise of a peaceful kingdom. And we know that the Bible says that God gives peace to those who come to Christ. The inner spiritual peace that the Prince of Peace alone can give to a human heart is received and enjoyed by those who will trust in the child and who turn from their warring and hatred and pride and violence to come to be at peace with God Almighty through the child. Through the child that was promised, through the child who was said to have come, through the child who has come. This child, the Lord Jesus Christ alone, can give inner spiritual peace, which must then be expressed in outward visible peace. And it is the Lord Jesus Christ who will end distinctions and divisions and hate and murder and war. He is at work to end these things today. And so we must cry out as the people of God for the Prince of Peace to exercise the power of his government and peace, so that he will bring peace to the warring nations where violence has filled the land, just as it is that violence and killing and judgment of sin filled ancient Israel at the time of Isaiah's prophecy. Ultimately, the Prince of Peace, he will bring complete and perfect peace to the creation. Ultimately, the Lord Jesus Christ will bring an end to all that is evil. All fighting and warring will be subdued under the mighty power of his government and peace. Under his throne, he is the King, the Son of David, and yet sits upon the throne of David. His kingdom is ordered and established with judgment and justice. He is able to stop sin. He is able to judge sin. He is able to restrain violence and wickedness. He is the King who makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth from the time of his coming forward, even until the end forever. The strong desire of the Lord God will perform this great act of the Prince of Peace's kingdom's coming, and it will come in the fullest. It will come and it will fill the nation. And Isaiah tells us that then the lion will lie down with the lamb. We see in Isaiah chapter 2 in verses 2 through 4 a description of the ultimate peace that is coming in its fullest, and yet of peace that has come now because the child has been born. We find there that the Word of God says, "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. The Lord's house will be in the highest places, and all nations shall flow to it, all peoples. Many people shall come and say, 'Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore.'" And so praise the Lord Jesus, Prince of Peace, because through regeneration, through the sanctification of his people, through the glorification, finally and ultimately, of his church in absolute peace, and now as he works and rules upon the throne of God, ruling the nations, judging, rebuking, bringing peace to warring peoples, causing the people not to learn war anymore, progressively, not perfectly and now in our age, but progressively, Jesus is bringing his kingdom of peace into the world. And so it is, he will continue to bring peace and overcome all warfare and killing and evil and sin and death and darkness, until it is that he ushers in his final and ultimate kingdom. His kingdom shall be present in the fullest, and the word of the prophet shall be finally and ultimately fulfilled, and that for all eternity. We find that Isaiah tells us in chapter 11, verses 6 through 9, in a great description, what the perfect peace of the kingdom shall be like, and what the peace of the kingdom is now like. And we don't want to miss this truth, my friends, that Christ's kingdom has come. It is coming, and it will come, but this much needed peace is present today. And so, though we live in desperate times for many people, there is peace for the nation of God, for the people of God. And so we can rightly describe The peace that we enjoy today in this way also. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze there. Young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And so, my friends, in this wonderful promise, the lion, the blood-eating, meat-eating, killing lion, the creature, is transformed to be a creature at peace so that he lies down with the lamb. And he begins to eat straw like the ox. And so the picture here is of transformation. The killer becomes at peace. The killer lion, bloodthirsty in his violence and hatred, becomes gentle and mild and lowly and at peace so that he no longer kills and eats blood. And so the lion lies down with the lamb through the power of the Prince of Peace. And my friends, I must offer you this word of encouragement this morning, that oftentimes in nations which are called Christian nations because of the large numbers of professing Christians in them, many times Christian nations have great violence and killing. We're witnessing that today. There is a great need for a deep, deep work of the Spirit of God in the hearts of those who profess to be Christians. And there is a great need for a deep work of God's grace in the hearts of those who are true Christians. And this must happen as God brings an end to war through the church, through his kingdom, which is surely coming, which has come into this world. And so, Christians, my friends, we must grow in God's grace and be the peacemakers that God says we are by nature spiritually, and we must grow deeper and stronger in grace and Christlikeness to show forth the reality of the Prince of Peace in our time. As we show forth the peace of Christ, we will affect those about us with peace, and there will be a greater measure of peace. And so we are charged with this extremely great and grave responsibility to be peacemakers in an age, a generation of great desperation and turmoil and conflict and fighting. And so how will peace come to the nations? Peace will only come through the church, through the body of the Prince of Peace. And so we must be faithful to pray for peace. We must be faithful to be transformed and be less lion-like and much more lamb-like in our generation. We must be true to the Word of God. We must be holy people. We must fight not physically, but spiritually, and contend not carnally, but spiritually with the great hosts of wickedness that are about us, pulling down their strongholds through the ministry of prayer and the Word and holy living and loving sacrificial Christian service. We must pull down the high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of Christ. Every imagination that is prideful and wicked, pull it down and bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ personally and individually and corporately. There must be a deeper work of God's Spirit. We must cry out to the Prince of Peace for peace in our own hearts, in our families, in our cities, in our nations, in the world, in this generation. For surely the Prince of Peace will then answer our prayer and fulfill his own word to us. We find in Psalm 46 the glorious promise of the peace that is coming upon the nations. Jesus will bring peace. He will not fail in his awesome work to do that. We find in verse 9 that the word says, he makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. That's verse 11 also. And so, my friends, let us be encouraged today that the peace of Christ, which surpasses all understanding, reigns in the hearts of God's true people. And this peace must be expressed, too, in outward Christ-like lives. And surely, as we serve God in this way, God will use us as peacemakers in this troubled generation. Father, we thank you for the word of God that we've received today. Thank you for the child who has come in his mighty, powerful government of peace, and that he rules all things. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that once again you will restrain wickedness and violence and killing and fighting and murder, and that you will bring peace quickly and decisively in South Sudan and in Syria and to the world, Lord. Bring peace to our hearts. Bring peace to our families. Bring peace to our nations, our cities. Bring peace to the peoples. We give you praise, Prince of Peace. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.